Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. You know, we are in this world of generations. I think more and more everybody's talking about the generations. I mean, because, you know, for me, I'm at the end of the baby boomers, but I relate more to Gen X and millennials. And but it's traditionalists, you know, the veterans before 1946, and then you got baby boomers and Gen X and millennials, which is the Gen Y and Generation Z. And we never thought that we'd get those kind of names, which was really weird to me. And I was like, where'd the names come from? But anyway, it's just an interesting thing to talk about the characteristics of each of our generations and how we work in this world together. I took a diversity training course, and that was the big thing, was just how we get to work together, but look at how we're different, but look at how we're also alike. Mm-hmm. So it was really interesting. Nancy Lewis joins us. She is CEO of Progressive Techniques Incorporated. She's written a new book called Millennials and Beyond, Making the Leap from Texting to Talking, which, boy, that is something, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Good morning.
Good morning. You know, generations, I love my grandmother's generation.
Mm-hmm.
That generation taught me so much about being in the world and being authentic.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That was important to them. And that generation, the traditionalists, which we also call the veterans, mm-hmm. born before 1945, many of them survived the Depression, you know, the all the things that took place in 1929 and all that.
Yes.
But they had the ability to have a handshake. And in that handshake, if they had to deal with the handshake, the authenticity and the integrity stood like a contract.
Whereas today, you better have an ironclad lock, clink, clink, clink.
You better have it notarized,
everything,
because I had that first experience when I got in business. I trusted someone on basically a handshake, you know, in terms of didn't have a contract. You know, I just trusted them that they would pay and all that. And at the end of the day, because I didn't have a contract, I had nothing to say what I was doing in writing. And I didn't get paid, and I had no leg to stand on.
Wow.
But what it taught me early on, when you have a business, you know, I thought because of the relationship and because of how I am, if I tell you I'm going to do something and we shake on it or we agree to it, that's what I'm going to do. But I have to remember, just because I think that way and that's how I do business, that does not make it the norm for everybody else.
Right.
And so I get contracts now.
Exactly. So that handshake has gone way by the wayside. So they grew up during the Great Depression and World War II. And they are the wealthiest generation right now.
Yes, they're actually living and enjoying some of the retirement dollars that are out there. But they also deferred gratification. They like to pay cash for things.
Right.
They didn't like to have debt.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like, to them, it was like, no, you got to pay for it. This stuff, not buy it now and pay it and pay for it in 20, 25, whatever.
10 years,
That would not work for them. They believed in, if they want to buy something, to pay cash for it.
Mm-hmm.
They believe in putting money, not necessarily in the bank, but it might be under a mattress pad, it might be under a tree someplace, because they want to have access. They were savers. They delayed gratification.
They absolutely did, and was not worried about it at the time, you know?
No, they just believed that they had what they needed. They learned how to make stuff out of almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could have meals out of chicken with some potatoes, whatever. They knew how to stretch things. They had the insight and the wisdom. And they were really, at that time, the mother was primarily in the home.
Right.
The dad was the breadwinner. Basically, and again, as we stress with all generations, this is not how all of the traditionalists and the veterans were, but there were trends. But during that time, the mom was at home. Think about it. People have ever watched Leave It to Beaver.
Mm-hmm.
It's on TV Land the back in the day. You know, Ward went to work, and his wife was at home with her pearls on, vacuuming and all that stuff.
Right,
that was
in her heels.
Thank you. And it's maybe that people didn't have heels on and pearls, but what I'm saying is that the mom was in the home. She was there when the children went off to school, giving them a warm breakfast, and she was there when they came home in the evening. That was the model, and the dad was the breadwinner.
Yeah.
If the mom was working, she was either a nurse or a teacher for the most part. And so you had that parental involvement. You had the dinner with the family at the table, having discussion, all those things, the dad coming in, the breadwinner. That model has shifted.
You know, some of the other characteristics of the traditionalist You know, they were patriotic, yes. patient. They believed in teamwork.
Yes.
Loyal.
Yes. They, I mean, that's why they stay with companies for 20 mm-hmm. to 30 years. Mm-hmm. If the boss said, do it this way, they would never question their boss about, right. the boss says, I want you to do project XYZ. They would never question the boss about, why do I have to do it? What's in it for me? They would not do any of that. Why I got to do it today? Can't you do it? They would just do it. But that has shifted. That model has shifted. Mm. Now you give people something. They want to know, why I got to do it. You didn't give it to him. You didn't give it to her. But this was a generation that was loyal. They stayed. They didn't take sick days.
Yeah.
I can remember my mom would say, I had 5 years of perfect attendance. And I said, that's wonderful. it's wonderful. But that was things that they were proud of
right.
in terms of getting the certificates and the things that she did, getting to work ahead of time. My mom got to work roughly 30 minutes ahead of time
mm-hmm,
every
mm-hmm,
day.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, you know, I want to get settled in before the day begins and all that. I'm like, I don't need all that. I didn't take that model. But that was a generation who believed in working 8 hours for 8 hours. They
yes.
believed in whatever they were
or
supposed
10.
To do. Or 10, whatever it took. Now that model has shifted,
shoot,
but they had a strong work ethic. You can depend on that.
501, they're out of there.
Thank you. But they were there at 7:30 for their 8 o'clock shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But 501, they were going about their business to do whatever they had to do at home with the family. But there was that structure, that was that loyalty, there was that consistency that you saw with them that was a stabilizer.
Yeah. Yeah. They believed in promotion and job loyalty, staying on one job. No, why would I leave this job? You know, I'm okay on this job. You know, they were okay. They were content.
Yeah, they work. They believe
times.
If I work hard
mm-hmm.
and do a good job, then I'm going to be rewarded for that.
Right.
And in many cases, that did happen for them. In that time, you had a lot of males in position because you didn't have a lot of women working, especially in terms of the leadership roles. So it wasn't autocratic,
mm-hmm.
kind of a dictatorial. This is how we need to do it here. I don't need you to try to figure this out. I'm telling you how we're going to do it. And so that was kind of sometimes the model as well. It's like it was dictatorial. It wasn't like we need to pull you in to get your thoughts on it.
Wow. Wow. It's not happening. Not happening. The boss was right. And actually, if you worked in customer service, the customer was always right
yes,
during that
matters.
Time.
And you better treat that customer
mm-hmm.
like they're right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you respected people. You may not have agreed with people, but one thing, they taught you honor and respect.
Right.
And so if you're raised by them or you had any interaction with them, many of them, again, we stress this is not all traditionalists. This is not all veterans, people who were in that era. But there are trends that you saw. Because I was at a doctor's office 1 year. I never will forget. It was a lady came in. She had to be 70, 75. And she had so many tattoos on. The people were going to get other people in the business to come and look at her. Because I had never seen anybody who was that mature,
right.
who had, I mean, literally she had tattoos all over her body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And people were just like amazed. They were going to, you could see people going to the back, like, look, look, look. Mm-hmm. And people were just like, wow. But she was certainly, she was in her 70s, probably at least, but she had tattoos like she was a person who might have been 19.
She lived a different life. She came from a different, she had a different culture.
So again, that's what I tell people. When people want to put you in a box, you don't want to put any generation in a box, but there are certain trends
mm-hmm.
and characteristics that are associated with each generational group that you cannot deny.
I tell you a funny story. You know, the traditionalists are also the generation of children are seen and not heard. And we were with my grandfather and my grandmother, and I'm trying to remember where we were in the store or something. And it was my brother, myself, my aunt, who was their youngest child. And they were talking, and the adults were talking. And we were just standing there quietly. And my aunt, who was, she's a year younger than me, popped up and said something. My grandmother pinched that girl so hard at the time. I'm surprised her teeth didn't fall out. She got pinched so hard. She probably still got a scar. I have to ask her if she remembers that. We got in that car, and my grandmother said, and my grandmother kind of just looked at my grandmother. And my grandfather looked at my grandmother, and she said, when you get home, you know what it is, pretty much.
And you know what that is.
She said, you know, you do not talk in grown folks' business. You're not supposed to even be listening, but if you are, you stand there. You should be seen and not heard. And I remember I had to be about 8 with the first time I really heard that
mm-hmm.
and understood it,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so now you get, I mean, it was with my little cousins and my niece and nephew, and adults were talking, and she was just interjecting. I said, hold on. Don't you say another word. First of all, this is not your conversation. I better not hear you say one more word. Not one word. Not one word.
But to your point, Tawanda, we couldn't even be in the same room. If adults were having a conversation, you in another room, you're not even in the room with the adults because you are a child.
Well, we're in the grocery store. So.
But many times parents are at home having adult conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And the children are coming in as you make comments, and it's not, I'm like, excuse me? So you're right. It was an era where you were truly seen at church. You didn't. They would just look at you. Move one more time.
Yep.
We didn't have prison at church. Move one more time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you would sit there like a church house mouse. You wouldn't move. You wouldn't flinch.
I'm telling you.
Because I remember I had a situation where, you know, my mom being a veteran, I mean, a traditionalist, and one day one of my friends said, if you have a temper tantrum, you get what you want. I said, really? They said, yeah, if you fall out and stuff, you get what you want. Because I did it, and they got what they want. So I'm like, okay, let me try this. So we were at a store downtown Indiana. I never will forget it. So I wanted some candy, and she said, you can't have candy. And so I just proceeded to just fall out downtown on the sidewalk.
Girl.
Downtown in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Mm.
And she fell out with me and with me right outside the store.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, this don't work with her.
Right, so who was embarrassed?
I was like, I never forget that. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
She said, you going to fall out? I'm going to give you the reason to fall out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it was an era where you had respect for them. You might not agree with them. If they said something you didn't like, you would never let your face show it in their presence.
Get hurt.
You might not be here today.
Right.
You would go out the room and go down the hall, and you might kick the wall, whatever, but you would not do it in front of them.
But, you know, also in a turn of events, I can't exactly tell you when this happened, but I know it's been in our generation that our parents could spank us in public. Nobody said one word, and you could get a downright beat down.
Yes.
In public, and nobody would say anything.
I'm telling you.
And now, touch a child. There's somebody on the phone. I'm calling 911 because they're abusing their children, you know, and now look at our children.
That's why we get the problems we have.
Yes.
Because you become friends with your children, and so you can't discipline them. You can't wait till they're like 10 and 11 to begin to discipline them. We got disciplined from
day one.
I'm telling you, they did not play. It wasn't a debate. When they told you to do something, it wasn't like, well, why I got to do it? You simply did it. Now you got these questioning, why do I have to do it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to get back those characteristics of honor and respect, but you have to start raising your children with that when they're young.
Yes.
Honoring people that are more mature than them. Anybody who's older than you, to honor them, to speak to them. You have to teach it to them when they're in the developmental state.
Yes.
You can't wait till they get 10, 11 and begin to say, okay, you need to do this. It has to be from the baby age.
Yes, sir. No, sir. Thank you.
Yes.
Please.
I mean, just
you
common
know?
Courtesy mm-hmm. that people think is so common. It's not that common anymore.
We were, I was working with a group giving out book bags and school supplies. And after a while, I got tired of the kids not saying thank you. And so I began to say thank you. And some of them would look at me like, huh? I never heard that word. But most of them would say, oh, thank you. I say, you're welcome. So that was my thing all day, was saying thank you and you're welcome.
Because they don't get it because they've not been taught it.
Yeah,
they've not been taught to, when someone does something for you, that is just a blessing. You're getting a book bag that you didn't have to pay for.
All the school supplies.
So the least you could say is, thank you so much, but they're not being taught that.
Yeah.
So if we don't teach them to understand the importance, and that's the one thing that that traditionalists, they had the honor, they had the respect,
oh
they had
goodness.
It down.
That's right.
And they taught us that in terms of, you will not disrespect somebody. Because in our day, if you misbehave someplace, the person who you misbehaved with, they could discipline you.
And
they
then
had free
call
court.
Around and tell your parents.
And then when you got home, and they didn't have the technology we have now, but they knew when you got home you had misbehaved, you got it again.
That's right. That's
and we
right.
turned out okay.
Yeah, we turned out fine. We turned out fine.
But so now we have steered away from some mm-hmm. of that in terms mm-hmm. of wanting to be friends with our children and all that. You're a parent first.
Yeah. Traditionalists, the majority are retirees.
Yep.
I know my mom's at the end of that, so she's probably more of a boomer, my mom is. And but that's the largest voting population right now. That's amazing.
Yeah, and they're not retiring. They are rewiring. That's a new
they
phrase
are.
Now.
They is are.
Is rewiring because they're still they're able to be active.
Mm-hmm.
They're vibrant. They're able to still do things. So they're not retiring. They are rewiring to do what they want to do now. They're one of the largest groups that are starting entrepreneurial ventures
mm-hmm.
now because they get into that second phase, but they have so much experience. So many companies
yes.
are bringing them back in a consultative
right,
role
right.
to help them, because many of them have left with so much knowledge
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
that even the boomers don't have. And so sometimes they come in and they consult groups, they consult with high level executives
work
because they have
days,
a lot
yeah.
of experience mm-hmm. that was not captured.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. You remember when we were little, we thought 50 was old. Oh, my gosh.
And you said, oh, you're over the age.
Right.
You're over the hill.
You're old. And now we're seeing 70, 80, 90-year-olds kind of zoom past us on some things.
How about the lady who was, I think, 72 someplace who had a child recently?
I saw that.
I mean, so, you know, it's amazing. You look at the colonel who had KFC, how huge when he started. So I tell people, it's never too late for you to start.
Mm-hmm.
The key thing is just taking that step. You cannot, in America, we let age determine so many things. You have to just continue to just live a vibrant, active life, because when you become sedentary and you sit back, I mean, that's not good for you. If you
no.
went from an active pace
no.
to being sedentary, that's not good.
Right, right, right.
It's finding something, whether you volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
We have such a need in the schools for the traditionalists to go in and share with our young people about values. And the importance of your word and respecting yourself, how you carry yourself, how you dress.
Mm-hmm.
All those things that have been somewhat, they've been impacted over the years because of society.
Well, I tell you, I would rather sit with a traditionalist and listen to their stories and how they got through stuff. I mean, they're so full of wisdom and knowledge, and you cannot deny that.
Nope. You can't get that through
something.
You can't get that through technology. You cannot go. You can read about something, but when you lived it,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that's totally different. When someone can tell you, this is how we navigated through this situation
right.
here at work when this happened.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is how we did this when we were being treated unfairly because of racism or sexism or whatever. This is how we navigated through that. We didn't pull out weapons. You used different strategies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This is how we took care of 10 kids. And one person was working in the house.
Thank you.
You know, this is how we did that. And the kids were clean and fed.
And we learned how to share.
Right.
This is they knew how to share. They share with people. They had family. Family was most important to the
mm-hmm.
traditionalists. That family unit was key. And that
generation.
Is something we need to get back to, that family
yes,
structure
yes.
where you had mom, dad, and you had the children. That family structure has been broken, has been tampered with. We got to get back to the family where you get together at the dinner table
mm-hmm.
and you have conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's conversations.
No, you know, in my house, no cell phones at the table. So, and I've been doing that since the kids were little. No, we're not doing cell phones. We're going to talk. And that's how you learn about your
yes.
kids and learn who they are at the core. I can say that, you know, mine are now young men, but I know who at the core they
mm-hmm.
are, because I've sat at the table. We've had long talks on the bed and walks and drives and all of that. And so that's the way that they got to know who their family members were.
Right. And the history of all the heritage
mm-hmm.
that you have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You just can't capture that in digital pictures and all that stuff. It's not the same.
No, I want to hear the stories. Even now, with my grandmother 89, and
that's
I
a
always,
blessing.
Yes, I always have my either cell phone or some kind of book out. And because
when she's talking,
she's dropping nuggets, man. She's like, "This is I remember so and so, and we did that, and the Mennonites and the blah." And I'm just like, "Oh my gosh." So I just started just taking stuff down because I know I got to write about this eventually.
Right. That's a book.
Yeah, it's a book. Just
the information. And see, that's what I tell people. All of us have a book inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
But the richest place in the world is a cemetery with
graveyard.
People who did not share their stories with anybody.
That's right.
And so we have stories that were never shared, legacies that were never continued because we didn't share that with somebody else. So I tell people, write your book, write your story. It doesn't have to be a big book. Just tell your story.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you dug into this Millennials and Beyond thing. And tell us a little bit about the book, because we're kind of finished talking about our traditionalists, a great, great
a great group that just, I mean, are
great
people
generation.
Who raised me, who
yes,
helped
me, too.
Me with values and
mm-hmm.
morality and,
mm-hmm.
and knowing the right thing to do at the right time. So millennials are, you know, and again, I stress because people always say, you always saying, no, we're not saying all millennials. But again, there are trends that are seen in every generational cohort group, which is also inclusive of millennials. Millennials have been raised as the trophy children. They got trophies when they lost. It's the only generation that when they lost, they got participation awards. They got trophies for just being a part of it. We don't keep score. We want to make sure they feel good. And so they've been applauded when they failed in many cases. That you failed correctly, so we're going to give you an A. And again, so they come into the workplace, and what I've seen in terms of working with a lot of them is that they don't like negative feedback or constructive feedback.
You
they
hurt
don't
my
take
feelings.
It
you hurt my. That tell you hurt my feelings.
Yeah, I was
me?
Told by one that you hurt my feelings, and I didn't like the way you said it.
Wow.
Like, I was like, really? No, I didn't like. I said, did you want it with the basket with the bow on it? I'm like, you know, you were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, so this is a generation that they've had instant feedback. They've had a voice in everything. Growing up, they were a part of the voice in terms of where do you want to go for a vacation? Where do you want to eat? So they had a voice.
Yeah.
And so when they come into the workplace, they have a voice that they want to share information with their boss, who they've just known for maybe a day,
right,
about how they think the company should be run.
And know nothing about the background.
And so they really have to learn business
right.
etiquette.
Mm-hmm.
That is a piece they have to learn because they've had such an inclusive voice in their world where they come from. Their parents, you know, they're attached to their parents in a whole nother level than any other generation has been, because their parents have been there for them. Their parents will go online looking for jobs for them, filling out applications, filling out scholarship information.
So their parents, were their parents the Gen X parents?
Many of their parents are boomers.
And
a
boomers,
lot of their parents
they're
are boomers,
us.
And there's some
yeah.
Gen X, but many of the parents are boomers. And I tell people, boomers, we're the responsible persons for what we're seeing, because you wanted to give them a better life.
Than what
you
we
want
had.
Them to have the greatest thing in the world, so you did not. You don't let them fall. You pick them up before they fall.
And that's a sad thing.
And so when they come to the workplace, because they've seen all the things that have happened in our world. So many leaders have fallen. So many things have been done that have challenged, you know, the core of what they believe.
Right.
And so they have their own mindset. They don't believe necessarily, because you tell them something, they don't necessarily believe it. I was reading an article the other day, when they get ready to make a purchase, they want to have at least, one of the articles said, they have to have at least five people that maybe they don't know who will endorse it. Well, boomers, three people could endorse it, that was good enough, but they want five, specifically more people who they don't know, because they know people who don't know them will be honest with whatever they're saying.
Thus the crazy reviews that we see about everything, anything, whatever.
Yes.
Somebody's got to say something about something.
Yeah, but they are used to having a voice in whatever they want to say to be able to voice that. And I tell them it's a time to do that, and it's a time you need to keep your mouth closed.
Right.
But
right.
you have to learn that you're going to get constructive feedback. And they're very, many of them are, some of them are fragile. When you give it to them,
yes.
they don't handle it well. They
oh
really do not
goodness.
Handle
so true.
Feedback well when you're telling them this will help you get better. They see it as like, I've missed the mark. No, it's an opportunity to grow and to learn.
Right. Right.
But they see it as
like,
I've missed the mark. So they grew up in a very competitive environment where they were always involved in something. So they're one of the more highly stressed groups because they were always involved in something, and they never turned their phones off, so they're always connected.
And they always got an opinion.
Yes.
I got two of them.
Whether you want it or not, they will try to interject in a conversation their viewpoint. I've seen it happen many times when I've been talking to other people. They'll come in, not a part of the conversation, saying, well, I think this. And one day I said, excuse me, this is not your conversation.
Right. Right.
Excuse me. You know, so we're having this, you do you, and how we want to do it, we're going to do it our way over here. Thank
you're
you.
Lucky, look, you lucky you ain't getting that pinch from Big Mama.
Thank you. But it's like, they just think that that's, hey, I'm an adult. I'm 22, 23.
I can just walk up
and
say
a voice.
What I
can
want.
Tell
yeah.
you something. I'm like, you have innovation. Now, they're very innovative, very creative.
Mm-hmm.
They bring a lot to the workplace. We need them as we need all the other generations. We need them because they bring a lot to help us navigate the digital world, but there's a lot they have to learn around the area of people skills.
Interpersonal.
Their
that's
people
right.
skills, their social
well,
skills.
Well, don't give it away. We got to talk about this because we're going to talk about baby boomers next time and
yep.
then Gen X and then the millennials.
Yep. But
and Gen
Z. At the end of the day, it's how do we leverage all the groups together to make the business world, to make our lives, to make our careers, our entrepreneurial businesses better, because we've got to figure out how to leverage the talent of all the groups, because they all bring something unique
that's right.
to make us become more effective.
Absolutely, absolutely. Tell folks how they can reach out to you, how they can get the new book.
They can reach out to me, and they can call me at 770-964-5533, at 770-964-5533, and they can go to the website at www.progressivetechniquesinc.com. That's INC.com. That's www.progressivetechniquesinc.com. And I'd be happy to help them in getting a copy of the book and even coming into their organization to talk to them about the generational opportunities.
All right. Definitely opportunities. Nancy, thank you so much for joining us. Nancy Lewis, CEO of Progressive Techniques Incorporated. We'll talk to you next month about the baby boomers.
Yes. Thank you so much, Twanda.
Thank you.